ready to announce that those new deacons are now ready to serve and serving. Kelly Shebs and Matt Thompson are the two new deacons, and they will be joining Paul Dyer, Keith Strickland, and Zach Steed as our youth deacons. And so want to help them and encourage them in the work that they will be doing with our youth. Keep in mind that next Sunday will be our anniversary Sunday. We will not have an 8:30 worship service. We will meet for a combined worship service, a class period, here in the auditorium at 9:30. And then at 10:30 will be our regular worship service. Dennis Jones will be our speaker for the day. We will have a meal together, a catered meal together, and then we'll dismiss for the day. And so keep that in mind, that that's next Sunday. And also keep in mind that next Saturday night, you turn your clocks back 1 hour. We come off of daylight savings time. And keep that in mind for next Saturday, and then followed by anniversary Sunday next Sunday morning. I want you to open your Bibles to the book of Matthew chapter 17. And before we get into the verse and look at this particular verse, we have a question. And that question is, what is our greatest problem? Our greatest problem is dealt with in this verse. I have to tell you just a little bit about the way I introduced the lesson this morning. I am, it comes to my mind on a great deal of occasions whenever I'm sitting down and writing a bulletin article, whenever I'm teaching a class, whenever I'm preaching a sermon, whenever I'm doing any of those things, it comes to my mind that, you know, there's a sense in which I'm saying the same thing every single time. And sometimes that bothers me. And I think, okay, I need to change that. But how do you change that? Because what I'm doing every single time is trying to get us all to look at what God says, what the Bible says. Now, that becomes very verified, if that's the right word, because everything God has said covers every aspect of life and all of living. And it covers every aspect of life and of living with regard to what culture we're from, what background we're from, or what age we might be. It covers all of it. And so our greatest problem is we're not listening to God. The greatest problem with our country is we're not listening to God. The greatest problem with the areas in which we live is we're not listening to God. The greatest problems with our families is we're not listening to God. The greatest problem with us as individuals is there's situations where we're not listening to God. And so the whole idea of listening to God becomes very, very important. This particular passage deals with God speaking to us directly from heaven. We're going to see in just a second, he gives a command. He speaks in connection with Jesus three times. But it's on this occasion is the only time that he gives a command. And you already know what it is. But let's think about it for a minute. And I want to show you just very briefly a few differences between the accounts. We don't know the mountain. Most people think today that the mountain where Jesus was transfigured was Mount Hermon. And the reason they think that today is because Matthew chapter 16 and verse 13 tells us that Jesus met with his apostles at Caesarea Philippi. And that's where all the events that took place in Matthew 16, of Peter's confession that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, all of that took place at Caesarea Philippi. It was 6 days after that event, according to Matthew, that the transfiguration on the high mountain took place. Well, Caesarea Philippi is just south of Mount Hermon. And Mount Hermon is the tallest mountain in the region. There are other mountains around that are also tall mountains and would be described as such. And Mount Hermon is a part of a mountain range that has a number of high peaks in it. So in essence, we don't know what mountain it was, but Mount Hermon seems to be one possibility along with some of the others. And the Bible doesn't tell us what mountain it was. It just says a high mountain. Luke's account says that Transfiguration took place 8 days after events Luke had been describing. Matthew and Mark will tell us it was 6 days afterwards. Evidently, Luke is broadening the aspect of what's covered in his letter to cover a little more or a few more days, or it's just an average day that is given from the standpoint of Matthew and Luke saying about a week, and Luke saying it's about 8 days, probably being maybe a little more precise than the others. There's several different things that could be the case for why they're different, but I just wanted to point out to you that they're different. Luke is the only one who will tell us what Jesus, Moses, and Elijah talked about. Matthew and Mark will just tell us they spoke with him. But it doesn't tell us what they spoke about. But Luke tells us what they spoke about. And he tells us they spoke about Jesus' exodus, or his departure, which was soon to take place. So they're talking to him about his death, burial, and resurrection, and his ascension into heaven. Something they had a vital interest in, because without that death, burial, and resurrection, Moses and Elijah would not go to heaven. Moses and Elijah would not have eternal life. Because without the death of Jesus on that cross, no one has forgiveness of sins, and no one has eternal life. Interesting aspects about this transfiguration are that here are two men who are dead prior to the resurrection. And they are alive. Which fits in with what Jesus had to say about Abraham. And what fits in with the things that are said in other places. The proof that God is the God of all living. And God being the God of all living. That Abraham is not dead. Because God is, at the present time, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And they are alive. And he said that to those Sadducees who didn't believe anybody was alive. Not only are they alive, they know what's going on to some degree. They know he's about to die. They know he's about to depart. And they come to talk to him about his departure. How do they know? I don't know. But that's what they came and talked about. And this is what's occurring on this Mount of Transfiguration. When they are talking, Peter is so elated he wants to build a temporary shelter for each of the three. Seems to be something different than a memorial. Because he's talking about building a temporary shelter. And while he's in the process of talking is when the cloud appears. And the cloud is as bright as light. And out of that cloud comes a voice. This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. That is said the first time God speaks from heaven about Jesus. And that was done when Jesus was baptized by John. It's not what's said, although it's included in what's said, the next time Jesus is spoken to by God from heaven, and that's recorded for us in the book of John. And what God says at that time is in response to a request from Jesus, glorify your name. And God says, I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. Talking about the glory he was receiving through Jesus Christ. But on this occasion, he's not talking to Jesus. On this occasion, he's talking to the apostles. On this occasion, He gives them a command. A command given to all humanity. And the command is, listen to him. So what else can we do except talk about listening to him? So that raises a question. And the question is really one singular question, but it has two parts. And the question is, how do you listen to him? How do you listen to Jesus? Listening to him. The first part of that question is this. What does it mean to listen to him? If I listen to him and I'm doing that, then what does it mean I'm engaged in? What am I doing if I am listening to him? You know, you can read the Bible every day of your life and not listen to him. Did you know that you can attend all worship services and attend all classes and not listen to him? So what am I doing if I'm listening to him? What does it mean to listen to him? Here's what I want us to do. I want you to start with me in the book of Matthew. We're going to go back to Matthew chapter 7. We're going to make this real easy. We're going to just follow the Bible through straight to certain passages. We're not going to read from all the books. We're only going to read from just a very few. But I want you to look at what is said as we go through these as to what it means to listen to him. The first two are with regard to this first area. What's going on with me if I am listening to Jesus? Matthew chapter 7. Verses 21 through 27, and Jesus tells us, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord. Now, they've heard some things about Jesus. They believe some things about Jesus. To some degree, they have been listening to him. But he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the ones who do the will of my Father who is in heaven. That gives us a clue. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then will I say to them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. So what do I do when I'm listening to Jesus? Next verse, he tells us plainly. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine, they're striving to understand, what does he mean when he says this? They're striving to understand, what is he talking about here? Every person who hears these words of mine, not their own thoughts, striving to understand his words, what he says, and puts them into practice. That's the wise man who's building a life that'll never be destroyed. The one who hears what I'm saying and puts it into practice. That's the one building a life that'll never be destroyed. But the one who hears my words but does not put them into practice is the foolish man who's building a life that will never survive. Building a life that will be destroyed. So what does it mean to listen to Jesus? It means to pay attention to what he says and put it into practice in my life. Have you ever noticed that if you start with Acts and you go from Acts through Revelation, and Revelation will be somewhat of a question mark with what I'm about to say. But if you go through those books, you have very few quotations from Jesus. You have very few times when the actual words of Jesus are quoted. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John will quote the words of Jesus and will tell us what he did. But they also tell us the story of his actions. So what's happening in Romans all the way through the rest of the letters? The apostles are sharing with us and with the churches then what you do in order to live a life that is like Christ. Here's how you accomplish living your life like Christ. And there are very few quotations, but there's teaching that comes out of the things heard by Jesus on how we live our life. And so the whole thrust of the book then comes down to hearing the words of Jesus, and here's how we put those things into practice in our own lives. And we have help with that. And that's what we do when we're listening to Jesus. But you have to have a certain heart to do that. John chapter 8 and verse 47 is the next verse. John chapter 8 and verse 47 is when Jesus is talking to the Sadducees and some Jews who are having a very hard time understanding what he says, having a very hard time understanding what he wants, and having a very hard time believing that what he wants is the best thing. They're disagreeing with him. They're not accepting his words. And Jesus gives them the explanation for why they are not and why they can't. So in John chapter 8 and verse 47, Jesus will say this. Whoever belongs to God, here's what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. They belong to themselves. They belong to their traditions. They belong to what they had always heard. They belong to what they wanted to believe. But they weren't striving to serve God, no matter what it might mean. They need to change. So they weren't striving like God, to become like God. And for that reason, they didn't belong to God. They belonged to themselves. John 8:47. How do I know I'm listening to God if I really pay attention to what God says and strive to make the changes I need to make that God wants me to make in my life? So another question. How do I listen to Jesus? How can I listen to Jesus today? He's not here. He's not talking. And sometimes that little voice that I have inside of my head is me. And maybe even an evil part of me. So how is it that I listen to Jesus? How do I go about that? Again, he tells us. John chapter 13, verse 20. It's where it begins. It doesn't begin here. He's been saying this to them all along. But in John chapter 13, in verse 20, Jesus is with the apostles at the Last Supper. And what he says to them here, he said to them when he first sent them out. He said to the 70 when he sent them out. He's saying now to the apostles because he's about to leave them and he's going to send them out. And he'll repeat it again. But in the book of John, chapter 13, in verse 20, he says this. Very truly I tell you, whoever accepts anyone I send accepts me. And whoever accepts me accepts the one who sent me. My words, Jesus said, came from God. If you accept the words that I'm saying, you're accepting God. My words are given to some I'm sending out. It's going to be the apostles. We're going to see that in a second. But it's already been sent out by another group. But it's going to be sent out by the apostles. And whoever listens to them is listening to Jesus. Now, let's look at how much clarity he gives to that. Acts chapter 1 and verse 7. He's with the apostles. This is just prior to his ascension into heaven. It's after his resurrection from the dead. And in Acts chapter 1 and verse 7, the apostles are asking him, are you about now to restore the kingdom to Israel? And Jesus answers their question by saying this. It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Do you think that meant India? Do you think that means the New World? Do you think that means the Americas? Do you think that means the United States? Yes, it does. And who were his witnesses letting us know what he said? Well, he's telling them here. You are my witnesses to the all ends of the earth. Hebrews chapter 2. It's verified for us. Same thing is spoken of again. In Hebrews chapter 2, starting with verse 1. In chapter 1, the writer of Hebrews says that in the past, God spoke in different ways through different individuals. But in these last days, he's spoken to us by his Son. The one he said, listen to him. Okay, how do we listen to him? In chapter 2, starting with verse 1, it says this. We must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away from it. For since the message spoken through angels was binding, and every violation and disobedience received its just punishment. That's talking about how much God expected the Old Testament to be listened to and obeyed. And then he goes further. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? This salvation, which was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard him. That's the apostles. God also testified to it, to what they were saying through those miracles. This is how you know these guys are speaking for me. God also testified to it by signs, wonders, and various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. Jesus spoke to the apostles. The apostles give us the words of Jesus. Look at how Peter describes that. This is the next mention of the Mount of Transfiguration. Peter doesn't mention it until he comes to his second letter. The second letter and the first letter have the same purpose. He's going to tell us what the purpose of both letters are. So read with me in 2 Peter chapter 1. And I want you to start reading with me in verse 16. A lot of times today, we hear of talk that the things recorded in the Bible about Jesus are things that developed as the church grew. They are stories that developed as the church grew, and they were written down, and the Bible, therefore, was pieced together based on traditions looking back on stories that had been told since Jesus left. Peter puts a stop to all that. Every person who writes the New Testament was alive in the days of Jesus. Here's what he says. We did not follow cleverly devised stories when we told you about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in power, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. And to offer proof for that, he talks about one specific time, and it's the Mount of Transfiguration. Look at what he says. He received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory saying, "This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain. What we wrote are not stories we made up. What we wrote is the truth and eyewitness testimony. Now look at the next verse. Now here's where the whole Bible is thrown in together. And it's the Apostle Peter that's doing it here. It's not just the New Testament. It's the Old and New Testament, the entire Bible. Because Jesus said about the Old Testament, it talks about me. Jesus says, you search the scriptures, thinking in them you have eternal life. And he's talking to the Jews about the scripture, meaning the Old Testament. And you search the scriptures because you think in them you have eternal life. Yet they talk about me. And here I am standing in front of you. And you don't accept me. They miss the scriptures. Because the scriptures pointing to Jesus. Look at verse 19. We also have the prophetic message as something completely reliable. That's the Old Testament. And you will do well to pay attention to it as a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will. But prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. That's what Peter is saying for himself, what he's saying for the prophets, what he's saying for the Bible. Look again, chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. This is where he talks about 1 Peter and 2 Peter. Dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I have written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Savior through your apostles. I want you to recall the words of the Bible. I want you to live with the words of the Bible. Because in the words of the Bible, you have the words of God, you have the words of Jesus. In the words of the Bible, you listen to Jesus. This is how we do it. Chapter 3, 14 through 18. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless. Talking about looking forward to eternal life. Make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with Him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, giving you a chance to change. Just as our dear brother Paul also wrote you with the wisdom that God gave him. He writes the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort, as they do other scriptures, to their own destruction. Therefore, dear friends, since you have been forewarned, be on your guard, so that you may not be carried away by the error of the lawless, and fall from your secure position, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. Last verse. Oh, I didn't even put those up. Sorry. 1 John chapter 4, verse 6. John, in one statement, says, here's how you know what's wrong. Here's how you know what's right. Here's how you know what's true. Here's how you know what's not true. In the book of 1 John, chapter 4, and verse 6, we are from God. That's the apostles. Why? Because Jesus sent us, and God sent us. We are from God. And whoever knows God listens to us. But whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize truth and error. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. Listen to Jesus. It's a command from God. And we're told how to do it. Listen to His words. Understand them. Strive to understand what He meant when He said it. Strive to understand His words and then put them into practice. And we are listening to Jesus. We're never going to do it perfectly. And whenever we find out we haven't, we ask Him to forgive us. And He does. And we ask Him to help us to do better. And He will. But we strive to listen to Him and to follow Him in everything we do. Are you ready to become a Christian? To be baptized into Christ? Do you need to come home to Christ? We offer you His invitation as together we stand and as we sing.
I am resolved no longer.
give to living God.
Things that are higher, things that are nobler.